Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com. All right, here we go. Welcome in on a Tuesday, which is feeling like a Monday edition of the program. Ian Furness with you. Obviously, what's going on in the sports world, things are feeling a little different today. Not as upbeat as normal, but we'll still get to a lot of sports conversation outside of DeMar Hamlin's incident last night. We'll update you as much as we can on that. There isn't much to tell you, but we do have Hugh Millen coming on in a second. We've got much more, including Mike Sando and all that, but let's get to headlines right now.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All right, here's what we know, the latest on DeMar Hamlin, the safety from the Buffalo Bills, who we now know suffered a cardiac arrest in last night's Monday night football game in Cincinnati. He is in critical condition at a Cincinnati hospital, spent the night in the ICU. Outside of that, not much more to report on. The Bills and Bengals game will not resume this week. No other plans right now from the NFL definitively as to what to do next in that regard. There are some harsh realities in terms of the NFL, and that would be this. That game does mean quite a bit as far as the NFL playoff race is concerned, home field advantages and buys, all of that. So it is significant in that sense, but obviously takes a massive backseat right now to what's going on with DeMar Hamlin's health. Good news is he's closing in on $4 million fans have given him to his annual toy drive. Also supports a preschool, I believe it is, in Buffalo. So people pouring in their financial support to his favorite charity and cause. Let's see. We've got hockey tonight right here on 93.3 KJR-FM. Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers are lying in wait. They're in the City of Champions, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So that's a 6 o'clock drop of the puck tonight, 5:30 pregame show with the man himself, Mike Benton, on the Kraken Audio Network. Again, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock drop of the puck tonight. That's good enough for now. Let's move to the show. Here we go. Hugh Millen's going to join me in just a couple minutes, and we'll check in with him on some things. And I'll be honest with you. Now, let me tease one thing ahead. I know earlier today at 11:30-ish, I believe it was, we had a live voicemail, which wasn't really a voicemail, just a live body, in with my favorite guys, Jim Moore and Jason Puckett. My favorite show outside of, well, no, it's my favorite show, period. We had those guys on today. They did the voicemail that was an audio voicemail. I think it's just because Chris Kidd didn't want to cut any audio today.
Hey, take a chill pill there.
and we are running. We're like the Seahawk linebacking core right now. We are running at a very, very, very thin pace. Like we are down quite a bit. Anders is out sick. Jackson is in parts unknown on vacation. Ashley was smart enough to get the hell out of here at 10 o'clock today. And so Chris Kidd's going to be working like, are you doing the Kraken game tonight as well? No. I think you should. I think you'd be good on the Kraken game.
I'm not doing the Kraken game. I'm just running with Softy for those few hours. And then I'm going home to record some more stuff.
I know if I was Everett, I'd love to hear your golden tones in my ear across the way.
You know,
especially
maybe a summer with you talking hockey, you can get me good enough to maybe just say goal.
All you have to do is when he says you're listening to Kraken Audio Network, hit the break. That's all you got to do. It's really not that hard. Hell, Kevin did it last year, for God's sakes. All right. If you missed it earlier, our friend and now colleague, Jessamyn McIntyre, is now on board. And we're thrilled about that. And she is now kind of taking over a lot of the roles of Kevin. We'll do a more of a formal introduction at 2 and 2:30 with her today. And I kind of wanted to have, I had a fun thing planned out, which I'll probably do tomorrow. Get to know Jess. So I'll just, there's no way to prepare for that. But we'll get to know you a little bit better tomorrow. But welcome aboard. It's great to have you here. I'm thrilled. It says a lot about this show, the fact that they went out and got that level of producer, talent, assistant program director to work with me. That tells you that the biggest concern and hole in the, it's like the Seahawk defensive line. When you draft, like, you know, number 3 overall is going to be Will Anderson. Then you use the 18th pick and get another defensive lineman. That's me. That's this show. They went out and got a hammer because Chris, apparently I need help. Is that what it is?
I think you're doing okay for
next. I don't know.
I think you're, who does that make me?
That makes you the number 3 overall pick.
We need you.
I'll take it. Thank you for having me.
We'll get to know you a little bit more, but we couldn't be happier. She is as good as it gets out there, and to add her with Chris and Jackson and Ashley, man, we are as good as we've ever been behind the scenes, and so that's awesome. And she'll also be a part of the show, much like Kevin was. Kind of, I use Kevin a lot as a voice of reason, and you'll hear Jess do the same thing. So those are big shoes, because there's a lot of times when you look at me and say, "What the hell are you talking about?" You thought it happened with Jim Moore. Wait till you spend a few hours.
Oh boy!
Yeah, here we go. Before we get Hugh on, I wanted to, and I said, like, I've wrestled with this. I talked to Jess about it last night for a while. I wrestle with this a lot. I don't know how to handle it, and I think that also speaks volumes of what you saw last night on television with the Damar Hamlin situation. And when I say I don't know how to handle it, there's nothing to be said outside of you just hope and pray if that's what you believe in, but you just have to hold out hope that the young man is going to be okay. Tragedies happen in our world every day. Tragedies happen in sports every day, but not at that level necessarily. Whether it be the college level, youth sports level, high school level, what have you. Bad things happen. Sometimes as a result of the game and the competition itself, sometimes just out of a medical emergency that happens. Whatever happened to Damar Hamlin, we're not really sure 100% yet. Once the player leaves the stadium, there are some HIPAA laws that do actually kick into effect, I found out today, that kind of limits what the information is going to be. But I thought one thing I would want to do today is this. Kind of take this first few minutes before we have Hugh jump on, and Hugh and I are going to go a different direction with it. But I thought I would go down the road for a second of just being a fan, an NFL fan, a sports fan, a football fan. And I say that also temperate with someone who also, much like many people you've seen on television the last couple of days, I do make part of my living with the NFL, covering an NFL team. And, you know, the other half of my job working over across the street, it's the NFL is a huge, huge part of my livelihood. And it's a huge part of what I am. But I'm also an NFL fan and I'm a football fan. And I think one of the things that maybe has been lost in everything, the fans, everyone, every human being feels some sense of humanity towards what happened yesterday because it was so visible. It was so up front in front of us. And you just don't see that often. And then you had players that saw what was, from what my understanding is, a fairly violent and traumatic visual of someone being resuscitated. And you could see that in the eyes and the faces and the reaction of the players. And because it all happened in such a public forum, it hits home in a way that we just haven't ever had in the National Football League. At the same time, we're still fans of the NFL, and we're fans of the league. There are many out there that I think at times are, I don't know if there's a guilt, but they're like trying to make, like, you almost feel guilty about watching the National Football League. And I'm like, wait a second. No one should feel guilty about being a fan. You can be both things. You can be concerned about Damar Hamlin, but you can also still say, man, I'm excited about my team's game this week. Because rest assured, the NFL is going to move forward and play games this weekend as a league. What happens with Buffalo and Cincinnati remains to be seen. But the league will move on. It's a $100 billion business. That also is a reality. And there's networks involved and everything else. But you can still be a fan of the NFL and not feel guilty. You can still be a fan of fantasy football and not feel guilty. You can still wager on the NFL and not feel guilty, because that's what the NFL is. It's all of those things. But it's also a league in which human beings play, and human beings are injured at times, sometimes catastrophically. So one of the things that I look at and I've heard the last couple of days is, man, you know, people just don't realize these guys are, you know, they're real and they're normal human beings and they're this and they're that. And, you know, we're putting our lives on the line every single day. Yeah, I think people do realize they're human beings. I think fans aren't given enough credit for that. There are human beings who sometimes are idolized. There are human beings who are sometimes at the same time put on a pedestal, good, bad, or indifferent. They're role models in a lot of cases as well. That's fine. What we saw last night was humanity. And it was something last night that was truly hard to watch. And all of those things are true. You can be an NFL fan. You should be an NFL fan. And you can be a football fan and still feel compassion and concern for DeMar Hamlin. You know, despite what, you know, sometimes people are kind of, there's almost this guilt feeling. Ah, how can you watch the NFL again? Well, the NFL is going to go on. It's going to go on. The game will go on. What happened yesterday has never happened before, unless you want to go back to 1971. Hopefully, God willing, it'll never happen again. But all you can do now is hope that this young man is okay. Hugh Millen joins us right now on the for a little hardcore football, which we'll get to hardcore in just a couple of seconds. Hugh, one of the things, and we'll talk about Jordan Brooks in the next segment, and what life ahead looks like without him for the next, well, however many weeks they play this year, and then also into next season. Perhaps, depending on how long that injury is, probably 9 months or more, unfortunately. Before I get to that, I as an ex-player, you saw a lot of guys get hurt. You saw a lot of guys on the ground. You yourself got hurt. I know you had back injuries and other things.
Yeah.
But obviously yesterday, DeMar Hamlin was different. I'll just give you the forum, your thoughts on what we watched last night.
Yeah, well, I've been on a field where you see one of your compadres getting strapped to a gurney, and everybody understands that's a risk. And look, I'm surprised that they called the game, in part because I was at Stanford during the Curtis Williams situation in front of, 8,000 people in the rainstorm on Root Network.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the implications of last night. And so
stop you there for people that don't remember that.
Yeah.
When he was injured, he's a defensive back for the University of Washington, right? Defensive back?
Yeah,
defensive back. And he made a tackle on the running back from Stanford, actually played for Seattle, right? Kerry Joseph.
Yeah.
And he was paralyzed. And it was obviously a horrific situation. But as you mentioned, despite that catastrophe on the field, and they probably knew at that time how severe it was, they played the game.
Well, he couldn't breathe. And really, the most horrific football injury that I'm aware of, because not only was he a quadriplegic, but he couldn't talk, had trouble breathing. If he talked for more than 20 seconds, I'm talking days after. I mean, what I've said is, can you imagine? I think he lived, forgive me for not knowing the exact number, I should know. A lot of people do know, but we'll call it in the range of 550 days. If you had to live one of those days, just one 24-hour day in his condition, and having to know that there's no help for you, that would be your worst day of all your thousands of days. That would be the worst day in any, I don't care who's listening right now, his average day that he endured 550 of those days would be worse than any of your worst day ever. And so that was an unbelievably tragic accident, and they kept playing. Mike Utley, Daryl Stingley, they kept playing. So I'm surprised they called the game. As for, football's kind of taken a hit. I saw Alex Zanardi lose both his legs in a Indy 500 car race. Mm-hmm. Lane Frost was the best bull rider in the world. He got gored in the back by a bull's horn and died right there. Dooku Kim, a boxer, died in the ring. There are some sports where the athletes take on a risk. They know the risk. Some of them tolerate the risk. For some, that risk is actually part of the allure of the game. I don't know. This young man, I don't know where he stood on that, but I think all of us know the risk. I played 25 years of football, and I coached 24 seasons of football. My kids still play. I understand the risk, and they understand the risk, and that's part of football. And so for those who are criticizing the commissioner and saying that a decision should have been made first, I think this. We're human beings. We're not insects. we are capable of holding more than one idea in our head at the same time. And one idea is that we are immensely disturbed and saddened by a tragic event, and our hearts go out and our empathy, and we kind of die a little bit when we see something like that. Simultaneously, we can carry on the thought that the commissioner has a job to do, and there is money involved, and involved in a money-making enterprise that involves athletes who take on these risks. You say, wait a minute, how callous is that? Let me ask you this. The state of Washington has, on average, about 550 traffic fatalities per year. Nationally, we can predict we're going to be right around 42 to 46,000 traffic fatalities. We can call our congressman and get involved in the process and say, I don't want to drive 70 miles an hour on I-90. I want to drive 35. I want a new speed limit so we can reduce these fatalities. But we don't do that, do we? Because we value convenience. Okay, so in a lot of different walks of life, we sit there and we say, you know what? There is a value to human life. And we have to, you know, there's entire degrees in risk management that deal with these type of issues. And so can we simultaneously just be horrified with what we saw last night, but understand that Roger Goodell had a hell, he had a decision that was a very difficult decision. And if it should have been just knee jerk, hey, call the game right away. Okay, then what's the standard that we do that?
Well, let me jump in. One of the things that comes in, I mean, because as you kind of get further away, but even last night, and we live in a world of instant gratification with social media, and you know, on social media, you know, because it's instantaneous, everyone wants something to be done instantaneously. Yeah. There is no standard because this was unprecedented. So, you know, I think as time went on, and you saw, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Hugh, like those players seeing, you know, a defibrillator, an AED and everything, and a player being resuscitated, you know, that was probably a determining factor, but you had to go through a process. I want to move past that, though, because I'm
but that's what, just to interrupt you, that's what happened with Curtis Williams.
Right.
Like all the Husky players.
Yeah.
You know, and there would have been, in theory, it's a college game and there's less impact.
Right.
In theory, there would have been more of an impetus to cancel that game than last night. I'm not saying a judgment. The only judgment I'm saying on this is that for those who are just criticizing either the game or Roger Goodell, I think some of those criticisms, in my opinion, are a little bit thin in terms of the analysis. And that does not mean that we have any less empathy. Of course, any decent person has near limitless empathy for what happened last night. You know, but look, like there's some 19-year-olds that being a Marine is not enough.
Right.
They want to be a Navy SEAL or a Ranger. That, you know, they know the risks involved. And so people endeavor to partake in certain activities that bring on risk, and some of them want that. And certainly, at the very least, NFL players, if I can speak for them, they at least tolerate it. And does it scare the hell out of it? Yeah, probably on different scales, but everybody's scared. And as Cliff Averill said, more with the threat of a spine.
Right.
I'm good friends with the Millards, a family friends with the Millards for decades and decades. Their oldest son, Phil, playing in a high school game for CM High School, took a hit, had a little headache, went to bed. A bruise developed on his brain. He was dead in the morning. This is something that even high school play, and Little League for that matter. You take on the risk of paralysis. You take on the risk of death. Everybody knows that.
Well, and I think this in this situation is we kind of wait to find out. I mean, there's still nothing definitive as to what caused Damar Hamlin's cardiac arrest. The thought is that perhaps on what looked like a very normal football play and tackle that trauma to his chest caused it. But we don't know that for sure yet. Haven't heard that.
Right.
And that's why I bring this up, because I've had a lot of people reach out to me today. And I've had this for a long time, you know, because my son started playing football when he was in fifth grade. And, you know, I've said it time and time again for him, and especially in his current situation, in his health, it's the best thing that's ever happened to him. It gave him more, and did more for him as a young man than I could ever fathom. And yet in the back of my mind, what you're saying is all those things are true. I'm always concerned about the game. But I've always been concerned about what you just said. You know, Curtis Williams, Mike Utley. I mean, I know Mike, and I those are the things you are concerned with, is something along those lines. I always was concerned as he's playing basketball and other things, because, you know, if you have an undiagnosed heart issue, you don't know, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen. For me and our family, and you know, my son, I haven't even talked to him since then. He was driving back to school yesterday, and most of those kids think they're kind of bulletproof anyway. You know, at that age, like, it's fine. You know, I mean, they're worried about an ACL. They're not worried about something like that catastrophic. But me as a parent, there's nothing that I saw last night that would deter me from telling him not to play football. I think it's too good for his health and what he does. And I'm more concerned with the fact he's a type 1 diabetic. And he could, you know, I watch his blood sugar every game. And is he going to crash? And then what do you do? Because you know what? People know how to do an AED. They don't know how to deal with a guy that, you know, has his blood sugar going down to 20. And so I worry about that more than anything. But you also have two college football players in your family. Does this give you pause at all?
No, because I've already had to reconcile these type of thoughts years, really decades ago. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, you know, it's kind of it's almost an awesome, and I mean that in the sense that I'm using it, an awesome responsibility.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. Jay Rudd at Aurora LASIK and AuroraLASIK.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact, it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. Need to check it out as well. Go to AuroraLASIK.com. That's AuroraLASIK.com. Dr. Jay Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's AuroraLASIK.com for your refractive lens exchange.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you're coaching 8-year-olds and they don't have them, they don't even have trainers on the sideline. You'd be lucky if there's a dad in the crowd who, you know, he's an OBGYN or something, and you get, okay, he's got more medical training than me, you know, but we go out there and the kids, you know, are laying on the ground, and you come up, and of course we get our training and what have you, but not being trained to come up to these guys. Hey, where do you hurt? Mm-hmm. My back. You know, I mean, and now I've got to sit here and deal with this, but as you said, I'm not going to go through the long list of benefits to football. I believe in it, and I think obviously there's a point where, you know, in our son's cases, they're 18 years old or older, and they're old enough to make the decisions and assess the risk. But, you know, for parents, I understand it's not for everybody. It's not for every parent. It's not for every kid to take on those concerns. Those are legitimate concerns. I hope I don't sound like I'm, delegitimizing those concerns. It's everybody has to have a real rational, reasoned analysis and probably discussion with their kids to decide whether or not they're willing to take that risk. But it's always there. Paralysis is a risk. Death is a risk. Is it unlikely? Yes. In the case of death, it's extremely unlikely. But, you know, I don't know. But there's probably other sports where...
Well, I think we live in a hockey town now, Hugh. There's three new sheets out in Northgate. And there's two new sheets up on Snoqualmie Ridge. And if you've ever seen a guy go into the boards head first, it's the most terrifying thing I think you can see in sports on a fairly regular basis.
No doubt.
And when I was, And that, so when that goes into play for sure.
When, you know, and a thought about what the Bills are going to have to take. I was on a Falcon team. We had three deaths in one season on our team. Three teammates died for different reasons and not on the field.
Right.
But you still have to deal with the grief and okay, you know, do we take days off? Like, how do we handle this? And what have you. And so, you know, this is going to be a challenge for the Bills, as it has been a challenge for the teammates of some of these other tragedies that we've mentioned in this discussion.
I'm glad you mentioned Curtis Williams, too, because I thought of that last night as well.
Just remarkable. Yeah. You know, the idea that, remember, I mean, weeks later, they got him on the radio. We got him on the radio, and he couldn't put together one sentence without laboring for his breath. I mean, it's just,
and he
it just
year,
gives you chills,
and
right?
And yeah. And, yeah,
and,
true.
And so yeah, it's, if that is in some people's mind makes football an ugly game, I guess I get it. That's not how I feel. But I'm not gonna try and diminish or in any way detract from people who have that opinion. This is a day where a lot of people probably appropriately should be questioning football.
Well,
but I hope in the process, as they're questioning, they say, okay, what are the benefits of football?
Well,
and we could do burn more segments on that too.
Yeah, and there's no playbook for this, man. There is no game plan. There's no playbook because this hasn't happened in most of our lifetimes ever before, at least at the NFL level, where so many millions of people were watching and it was such a visual thing. All right. We'll take a break, come back. Appreciate your perspective. 49451, tell them where to text line. People can chime in. I do want to get to football, hardcore football. Jordan Brooks being out. More than likely that means moving Cody Barton inside, something you and I have discussed a lot this year. Let's talk about that as they move ahead and also into the offseason perhaps as well. Hardcore football. Hugh Millen continues. All right, hardcore football continues. Hugh Millen joining me. Ian Furness with you. Again, if there is any updates on DeMar Hamlin's situation, we will certainly pass that along, but nothing new to report there. We'll move back to football, and Hugh, and certainly it pales in comparison to what we saw last night, but injuries are part of the game. Catastrophic injuries in terms of season ending and one that extended the next year are the worst possible kind, and Seattle suffered one of those in the form of Jordan Brooks. He had played the third highest number of snaps this season for a Seahawks defensive player, over 1,000, 1,025. On the 26th snap of week 17, he goes to the sideline and has an ACL injury. He's out for this week, obviously, whatever remains of this year, if there are playoffs to be had. And then perhaps part of next year as well, depending on how long the recovery is. We have no idea at this point, usually 9-plus months. What does that do for this defense, losing Jordan Brooks?
Well, you take your best all-around player on the defense in terms of as an athlete, he's the combination of his physical, his speed, his tackling ability. He has violence. I just know if I was on another team playing the Seahawks and I heard Brooks be out, I'd have two thoughts. Number one, oh, that's horrible. Such a great player got hurt. And number two, okay, our chance of winning just went up. And just because he's that good, and so me as a Seahawks fan, I'm almost to the point of a fault of making excuses for the guy because he hasn't he's made mistakes and he's there's times where he hasn't appeared to be instinctive and it's a tougher duty to play linebacker now because the teams can get you in spread formation and then all of a sudden in certain two high defenses. You've as a middle linebacker, you've got to walk out and you got the slot receiver and it may be a Julian Edelman type guy, and they're working you on a little option route where he can break across your face. He can whip back out, on occasion he can go vertical right past you. And so there's a lot to be asked. I have wondered whether or not there's too much mentally on his plate that it's just better to turn that athlete loose and keep him at the will linebacker. I'm still going to wonder that. But now, his development as a middle linebacker is obviously going to be, halted right in the water here. But you can't really recover from this. You put Cody Barton in the middle and you try and make do.
For people just kind of join Hugh Millen and hardcore football, Hugh and I have talked about Cody Barton playing at the Mike linebacker for, I want to say at least 2 months, Hugh. We brought it up. I think you brought it up to me 2 months ago. I then brought it up to our friend Greg Cosell on a Friday and said to Greg, hey, what do you think? And he had agreed with you that maybe take a little bit off of Brooks's plate, let him go back to where he had played in the first 2 years in the league, and that would be at that will, and let him, react, use athleticism, get in space a little bit more. Barton seemed to be okay there playing, the last two games of last season and maybe more comfortable in that role. So Brooks aside, they've got Tanner Muse, who, by the way, has now played a total of 42 defensive snaps this season. 20 of those came in relief of Brooks the other day. They went with a lot of, you know, extra safety looks as opposed to two linebackers in that game. This week, and if there are playoffs after that, how comfortable are you with Barton at middle linebacker? And why? What was it besides Brooks, you know, Brooks playing maybe more to his strength that maybe you would like about Cody Barton playing the mic?
Well, I think Cody Barton is at his best when he's coming downhill, you know, between the A and B gaps, between the tackles, you know, taking on lead blockers. There's a ferocity to his game when he reads a play inside. You know, he has no question about, you know, putting his body in there and what have you. There's an aggression. There's always a hustle, and you're never going to grade him down on hustle or want to. I talked about in the modern game, there's a burden on Mike linebackers in coverage. I think that there's even more of a burden on the weak side linebacker, mm-hmm. and you end up in more in space. You know, for example, if a team gets in a three receiver set, if they can anticipate certain coverages the Seahawks want to be in, they can have that third receiver counting outside in. That's the Tyreek Hills of the world have made what I'm about to say very famous. You put him on a deep, deep crossing route. Let's say he lines up on the right side and he's going to go way over to the left side of the field. Well, in certain coverages, the far side linebacker, the weak side linebacker, has to recognize that and get underneath. Now you got a head start, so it's don't picture it's like, oh, the, you know, Cody Barton has to beat Tyreek Hill in a race. Cody Barton can beat Tyreek Hill in a race if the distance is short enough and you give Barton enough of a head start, right? Like we're this is just common sense, right?
Right.
So I'm not saying it's an impossible task. I'm just saying it's a difficult task, and if you run a deep enough route and the dude is fast enough and the quarterback has enough protection, eventually those type of receivers just outrun the Cody Bartons of the world. Mm-hmm. And they're more likely to outrun the Cody Bartons of the world than they are the Derek Brooks of the world.
I wonder with a guy like Muse, do you think, you know, this is like, Hugh, if I had a dollar for every time I've said this and you've heard this, Tanner Muse is a guy they love. Right, like you'll hear that all the time, right? How many players have we heard that over the years? Like, oh, they love this guy. They love this guy. And, you know, guys that you know, whether coaches or staff or scouts, whatever, they love this guy. Well, we've heard that for a while with Tanner Muse. Oh, good special teams player, you know, former safety in college. You know, he can cover some space. We really like this guy. When we look at a Tanner Muse, I know they have to upgrade the linebacker in the offseason, but is there anything in the 20 snaps that you saw the other day that Hugh Millen would say, boy, there's some traits there that I kind of like?
I thought he had the best play of any Seahawks linebacker in that game. When he diagnosed that and knifed through, great recognition. He chose a great path and just stoned, I can't remember the running back, but you know, probably for a 2-yard loss. I don't have the number right in front of me, but I ran the tape back and go, wait, what was that?
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything, reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
What was that comet shooting through the sky, right? And he just had that kind of play. So high-end potential, yeah, he showed it on that. So I don't want to say I'm excited to see him play because that means that I'm not seeing Jordan Brooks play. But this is the NFL. We know that somebody's got to step up. And occasionally we see guys like this where you say, we didn't think, based on what we saw, that this guy was a player in this league, but he showed us otherwise, and now he becomes a player. And so, you know, that could happen. Because, again, that was I saw a couple very impressive plays from him.
Before I let you go, from a hardcore standpoint, the extra safety as opposed to the two stacked linebackers, in this case, it would probably be Jonathan Abrams, I would assume, depending on what Ryan Neal's health status is. He had a massive brace on his knee walking around pregame the other day, so I'm not sure how close he is, if at all. But let's assume it's the former first-round pick for the Raiders. Do you think, for what Seattle wants to do, does it make more sense to have Muse out there or go with more, you know, in a sense, I guess it'd be a dime look, right, with an extra defensive back out there against the Rams?
I think you just continue to match personnel. If you're seeing a couple tight ends, you're going to see Muse in the game. If you're seeing three or more receivers, they've played their best defense this year when you had Ryan Neal and Kobe Bryant kind of as mirrored what's called curl flat defenders in their cover three. What that means is I'm going to do it again. I'm going to equate cover three to a baseball infield.
Yep.
And you've got the shallow layer of the zone defense close to the line of scrimmage, and you got the deep layer. And so in that sense, the shallow layer is like your infield, and the deep layer is like your outfield. And the reason I use the baseball analogy is that there's three guys in the deep layer, just like an outfield, and there's four guys in the underneath layer. The first and third baseman, when Seattle was playing their best defense, the first and third baseman were manned by those two guys. You had Ryan Neal and, again, Kobe Bryant. And they had to play some hardball. And guys were, they had to mix it up at the point of attack, take on lead blockers and what have you, and somehow try and hold up. And neither of them are thick. I mean, Jonathan Abram, that's one of the – if you said to me, give me a list of 10 guys that have surprised you in the last 10 years at their fall, their demise, based on what we thought of them on draft day and even what we thought of them as a rookie. I mean, I think they did Hard Knocks and when he was a Raider, and I mean, he looked like he was just destined to be a total impact player. Landon Collins type of just a thumper. And so I would put him on a list of the guys that I've been shocked, like, what happened to his career? And so I think there's a talented safety in there. I don't really have a basis to say that because I haven't studied all of his travels enough. I know that people have given up on him, but he at one time was thought to be a hell of a potential player and a rising star. And so let's see what we can get out of him.
Yeah, well, we know that Pete Carroll loves those guys, right? I mean, I kind of go back to Jerry DePoto's talked about this before too with guys, and I know Schneider and Carroll have. Sometimes guys, hell, the Kraken just picked up a guy from Nashville off of waivers. It was a first-round draft pick in Tolvanen. I mean, there's reason guys are picked in the first round in any sport, right? Doesn't matter what sport it is. Any sport,
right.
There's a reason guys picked in the first round and picked high. Hell, you can make that argument in the NFL, first, second, or third round. There's a reason the guy's there, so maybe you can go find something. I appreciate your insight, perspective, and experience today, my friend.
As I do yours. Thank you, Ian.
I'll talk to you soon. That's Hugh Millen. It's Hardcore Football. Next week, we'll talk Hardcore Seahawks after their game against the Rams. We may or may not be previewing a playoff game after that. We'll wait and see, but that's for a conversation later in the week. All right. Lots to get to. Introduce you to the newest member of the KGR staff in the 2 o'clock hour. We're excited to do that. Mike Sando is going to join us for a national perspective. He'll join us coming up about 2:10 today. Daily Power Play, 49451, is also there for you. Want to chime in on the text line, 49451. The Tullamore Dew text line, when it's game time, it's Tully time. But we got a Daily Power Play. Great news for the Kraken yesterday off the ice. On the ice, I'm not sure how great it'll be tonight. They're going against the NHL's leading scorer. We'll preview that next.
Malkin shoots one in on goal. Deflection. They score! It's Crosby!
In front, Kucherov. Score!
This is the Daily Power Play.
Deep slot, one-timer, McKinnon. He scores! And gave it with a finish.
Now, Ian Furness on Sports Radio 93.3.
This is the battle of Alberta we've been waiting for!
KJR FM.
All right, there's a lot of things to get to the Daily Power Play today on your home for the Seattle Kraken, 93.3 KJR FM. Kraken tonight taking on Edmonton. We'll get to that in a second. Hear from the NHL's leading scorer. That would be Connor McDavid in a moment as well. Before we get to that, we all need some good news right now. How about the good news yesterday we got here in Seattle? Commissioner Gary Bettman announced yesterday that the 2024 Discover NHL Winter Classic will feature the NHL's two newest franchises next year on Monday, January 1st, 2024 at T-Mobile Park, home of the Mariners. What does that mean? The Kraken are taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Much to the chagrin of the Vancouver Canucks and their fans up there who think that they should be here because it should be a rivalry with their team and not Vegas, which they say is forced. I counter with Vancouver, be better. Don't be so bad. Nobody wants to watch you play. You're awful. You can't score. Your best two players, one wants out, one got signed to a long-term contract, and you can't get out. Vancouver be better. And you would, when you are better, Vancouver, then you can have nice things like playing in the Winter Classic down here at our ballpark. Until you're better, then you're just going to stay out there in beautiful British Columbia and enjoy being hated on by your media and your fans. So it'll be Seattle and Vegas. That's coming up next January. It'll be a blast. There have been talks about this for a long, long time. I know some people are saying, oh, it should have been on the greatest setting on earth, University of Washington, Husky Stadium. Frankly, nobody wants to go out there because it's purple and ugly. And also, it could rain. That's the other reason it's not at CenturyLink or Lumen Field, whatever you call it these days, because the rain possibility. I did an outdoor game in the Western Hockey League, their first ever one about 10 years ago in Spokane at the minor league baseball stadium there. It was nationally broadcast. We did a national TV broadcast in Canada. I'm not sure how or why they played because it was 50 degrees and drizzling the entire game. You don't want to risk that. So that's why they're going to play at T-Mobile. Ideally, it's perfect and you can have the roof open and all that, but if not, you're playing sort of outdoors with the roof on, so it's going to be really cool next year. Meanwhile, your Kraken go on the road for the start of a 7-game series tonight. On a much more somber note, I think every player of any ilk is being asked his opinion on what happened last night, Monday Night Football, and watching that situation. Everyone's kind of concerned about DeMar Hamlin. The NHL's leading scorer is Connor McDavid, and he, like everybody else last night, is fully aware of what happened.
I think it's a reminder for all of us, athletes, fans, you know, media, that it's human beings out there, and it's guys with families. You know, I think his mom was in the crowd, and you know, it's human beings on the ice or the field or whatever, and you know, it's a sport, and these things happen. And I thought the NFL did a great job in making sure that the game was canceled, and everybody had a chance to think and kind of reflect and send their prayers out to him. And obviously, it was a terrible, terrible thing, and we're hoping for the best.
Before we get to McDavid's numbers this year and what the Kraken have going against them tonight, and which could be a really good hockey game. They blasted Seattle last week. McDavid had 5 points, a goal, and 4 assists in that game. But, you know, Q mentioned this earlier when we were talking about some of the risks that you inherently have in sports. And, you know, he brought up some motorsports, bull riding, other things. Team sports are a little different because, you know, those other sports, yeah, you have a team as an auto racing team, but it's different than the team sport and watching those guys go through that last night. But inherently, I still think that there's more of a danger at times in hockey than there is in any other sport. 200 by 85 feet on ice with blades and hard boards going full speed. And you'll see it every year. You'll hear about it every year. Unfortunately, there's young people that go into the boards awkwardly, end up, you know, being paralyzed. Sometimes it's high profile in the major college level or junior level, what have you. Sometimes it's just in youth hockey. So, you know, Connor McDavid, NHL players are all too well aware of what the risks are when you play a sport. I put the NHL and the NBA or NHL and the NFL in that same category. So obviously something they took heed of last night. As far as the game itself tonight, listen, McDavid's unbelievable. 72 points, 32 and 40, 32 goals, 40 assists in 31 games. He's looking for his 500th career assist tonight, trying to get that at home. It is heavy, heavy lifting for the Kraken tonight as they take on the Edmonton Oilers. Kraken got a nice win the other night against the Islanders and Matthew Barzal, but this 7-game trip, 7-game road trip, their longest of the year, is going to go a long, long way to determine. I think they're a playoff team, but what kind of playoff team they are. Sneaking in as a wild card or maybe being in that top three in your division, we'll find out over the next month or so. By the way, Ron Francis, Kraken GM, scheduled to join us tomorrow on the show. We will talk to him about road trip, outdoor game, how cool that's going to be for so many. I mean, 45,000 people are going to be able to watch that game in Seattle. That'd be awesome. And also, he's up at the World Junior Championships right now where Shane Wright is playing for Team Canada. They got an overtime win last night in the quarterfinals. Thomas Millich from the Thunderbirds is in goal for those guys, and it's been unbelievable. So we'll talk to him tomorrow, Ron Francis, the GM. We come back, Sando's going to join us, and we'll introduce you to the newest member of the KJR team. I look across the way. She's still here, probably because she's right now working with and kind of learning all the ins and outs with the nicest guy at KJR, with Chris Kidd. If it was somebody else, she might have already left. She might have already left, but she's with the kid. We'll check in with Jess next. Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.